Thank you and greetings, ladies and gentlemen. Did you know that a person can be as honestly wrong about a matter as he can be honestly right? A person can be as honestly wrong about his religion as right about his religion. Did you know that? The case of the conversion of Lydia is sure evidence that a person can be devoutly religious and still be wrong. Today, we're going to review the conversion of Lydia recorded in the 16th chapter of Acts. It is a most interesting and very important study. Lydia was a person who worshipped God, and evidently one who was faithful in her devotions to God. The Apostle Paul met her at a prayer meeting service, the record of which is found in Acts 16, verses 13 through 15. Hear the reading of the text. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. As we studied the conversion of Lydia, we shall give attention to some of the religious errors which have been drawn from this divine record because of misunderstandings. First, the false doctrine of direct intervention of the Holy Spirit has been advocated because the text says, "Whose heart the Lord opened." It is widely believed that man is totally passive in conversion, that the Lord, or the Holy Spirit, does it all. But, beloved, this is a gross mistake. The mistaken idea that man just waits for the Lord to select him and open his heart by direct operation has no doubt caused many honest souls to be lost, just waiting for something that never happened. In the first place, if the Lord or the Holy Spirit performed moral and spiritual surgery upon this convert's heart directly from heaven, it is contrary to every other conversion recorded in the New Testament. But God does not have a double standard of conversions. That would be the same as having more than one plan of salvation, or the same as having two or more kinds of births. All conversions recorded in this record of conversions are alike. They are not varied and contradictory. There is only one birth into the kingdom, the one kingdom, and that is the new birth, born of water and of the Spirit. My friends, there is no more a substitute for the new birth, spiritual birth, than there is a substitute for the natural birth. Yes, Lydia's heart was open, but we must observe that the Bible says of Lydia, "A certain woman named Lydia heard us, whose heart the Lord opened to give heed to the things which were spoken by Paul." The instrument used to open Lydia's heart was the word of God, which Paul preached to her. She heard the word. The Lord supplied her with understanding and wisdom through her own exercise of her own intelligence. The gospel was preached to her, like in every other case of conversion to Christ. She heard the word, and she obviously believed and obeyed the word. Lydia could not have believed on the Lord without having heard the word of God. Paul, this inspired preacher, himself said, "How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard?" And then the apostle concluded in verse 17, "So faith, the belief, cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ." Ladies and gentlemen, if Paul preached the gospel, the word, unto Lydia, what did he preach? Hear the word of the Lord, and I say, are you listening? Jesus said, "Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." Mark 16:15-16. I submit to you, my friends, that Paul, an inspired man of God, preached exactly the gospel authorized by Jesus, and nothing but the gospel. He could not have been a true servant of the Lord and done otherwise. He preached what Christ said preach, namely, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." The context of this record of conversion leaves no doubt about the matter. The things which were spoken by Paul, as the Bible says, included faith and baptism in order to be saved, just as Jesus commanded in Mark 16:16. And this record states, "And when she was baptized, and her household, she besought us, saying, If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there." That's found in the 16th chapter of Acts, verses 14 and 15. Yes, Lydia was faithful to the Lord through her obedience to his will. As a penitent believer, she was baptized into Christ, where she received remission of sins, just like Paul, who brought her the message of salvation in Christ. He, as you will recall, was baptized into Christ that he might have his sins washed away, as you read in Acts 22:16 and Galatians 3:26-27. Now, a question relative to the conversion of Lydia and her household has been raised concerning infant baptism and infant church membership. Some religious leaders even affirm that infants were baptized when Lydia's household was baptized. But my friends, I want you to see what happens when men disregard what the Bible says and base their conclusions upon assumptions. And I want you to hear this. I say again, are you listening? There is not even the slightest intimation that infants were in any way involved in the conversion of Lydia and her household. In the first place, there is no evidence that Lydia was married or had any children. This false conclusion is a matter of begging the question. That simply means assuming something to be true which is not proven to be true. It is only assumed that she had children. Follow other false assumptions further. It must be assumed that she not only had children, but her children were with her in the distant city of Philippi, which was some 300 miles away from her home in Thyatira. Not only that, it must be assumed that if her children were with her, at least one of them was an infant. But that isn't the conclusion of such false assumptions. Look at this. If an infant is in the household and the infant was baptized, he was not a qualified subject for baptism. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Mark 16:16. Obviously, an infant is not capable of being a believer. Furthermore, those who were baptized were they who were taught the gospel by Paul. My friends, infants are not qualified to have heard Paul's message. Therefore, infants were not included in Lydia's household who were baptized. Not only that, but to assume that infants were baptized in this case would be to conclude that they were baptized only upon the faith of the mother. This is contrary to all principles of truth relating to salvation revealed in the Bible. Jesus specifically declared, "Teach all nations," Matthew 28:18. "Preach the gospel, he that believeth and is baptized," Mark 15:16. "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free," John 8:32. The individual to be baptized is the individual who has been taught. A person cannot obey the Lord by proxy. Furthermore, to assume that infants were baptized as members of Lydia's household is to conclude that those infants were lost. Our Lord said that believers are baptized in order to be saved, Mark 16:16. The Bible says that Paul, the preacher on this occasion, was baptized to wash away his sins. We must conclude, therefore, that Lydia and her household were baptized to be saved because they were lost. Some religious teachers would have you believe that babies are sinners by inheritance, but the Bible would have us know that people are sinners by choice. God, through his prophet, said once, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him." Ezekiel 18:20. Adam sinned, not because he inherited sins from his father, God, but because he walked according to the course of the world, which included the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Satan, the prince of this world, was the great deceiver. Could one possibly imagine that the inspired Apostle John, addressing babies as "my little children, who were born in sin, totally depraved by nature and dead in sin"? It is unbelievable. Those who were addressed as being dead in sin in Ephesians 2 verses 2 and 3 were separated from God by reason of their choice of transgression and worldliness. The Apostle John explains what is meant by walking according to the course of this world. by his statements like this. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. 1 John 2:15, 16. Now, who is willing to affirm that infants are sinners because they walk according to the course of this world? Because they love the world and followed the lust of their eyes and the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Surely not so. Those who would advocate the theory that babies are born sinners, totally depraved, would do well to consider the divine statement of James. He said, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. James 4:17. Now question, and I say, are you listening? Does an infant know to do good? Where is the person who would actually affirm that an infant is a sinner because he does not do that which he knows to be good? The baby is not a sinner. He does not yet know good or evil. Read Romans chapter 9 and verse 11. The doctrine did not originate with Christ, for it was he who compared the spiritual condition of those who entered the kingdom of God as on equality with those who are little children. Matthew 18 and verse 3. If babies are born sinners, then Paul exhorted Christians to be sinners. To the church at Corinth he wrote, in malice be ye babes. 1 Corinthians 14 and 20. The Apostle James denies the doctrine of inherent original sin by affirming that sin originates in temptation, is conceived in lust, and is brought forth as sin. You read that in James chapter 1, verses 13 through 15. Who would affirm that babies are tempted and drawn away by their own lust and enticed? Then when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin in an infant. The theory of hereditary total depravity denies the fact that sin is acquired. If inherited, then sin is not acquired. Therefore, Adam and Eve inherited the sins from God, their sins from God. If acquired characteristics of parents are transmitted to children, then children are irresponsible, and parents are totally responsible for the sins of their children. Actually, then, no one is responsible but God. Therefore, there is no such thing as sin according to the false theory of inherited sin. Paul wrote to Timothy that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. 2 Timothy 3:13. If man is born totally depraved as an infant, how could he possibly wax worse and worse? Furthermore, if he is already totally depraved, how could he be seduced? My friends, are you listening? I tell you, no man has any sins except his own. In New Testament times, Peter commanded, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Acts 3:19. It was their sins which were to be blotted out, and not the sins of Adam, nor their parents. My friends, the Bible teaches that infants have committed no sins to be saved from. They are innocent, free from sin, not guilty of any transgressions, therefore no sins to be saved from. Some very simple deductions may be reached from this record of conversions, here in the 16th chapter of Acts, which will eliminate much false conclusions based upon false assumptions. 1. Responsible people, capable of being taught and capable of believing and obeying what they were taught, are proper subject of baptism. No one else. Lydia and her household were such subjects, otherwise they would not have been baptized. 2. Only women of Lydia's household are mentioned, as you find in verses 13 through 15. There is no indication that she had a husband or children. Lydia was a businesswoman, and evidently her household consisted of only women who were associated with her in the business of selling purple. Therefore, all the presumptive false conclusions are obviously without credibility. My dear friends, I tell you, let us be satisfied with the Word of God. Preach and teach the Bible only. These presumptions and assumptions, which are in conflict with God's eternal truth, leads souls away from God and may cause souls to be lost in torment for eternity. Let me tell you that you have an obligation to God, to yourself, and to those with whom you are associated, to hear, believe, and obey the word of God, and reject the doctrines and precepts of men. Don't forget that. Lydia and her household were converted to Christ, just like every other soul is converted to the Lord that you read about in your New Testament. And don't you ever forget, if any man or woman is converted to the Lord today, he will be converted just like those we're studying about in the record of conversions, which you read about in the book of Acts. Have you truly been converted to Christ? That is a question you must answer now and in eternity.